Everyone, this is Nellie. Thank you for tuning in today to my ministry, song, scripture, and my thoughts. Today is January 13th, 2023. You can find my ministry by either going to my website at kx9xgkfg2k.podbean.com, or you can download the free Podbean app and find me under Song, Scripture, and My Thoughts. I just want to give people ways to find me because of the way I started out this ministry. I'm not easily found if you research my ministry on the internet, although I am on other platforms, and so maybe some of you have found me on there. But if you're leaving any comments or anything, I'm not getting those from those other sites. So anyway, if you're interested, those are two places that you can find me. So I do check my website, and of course I check my Podbean account. So it's just one way that I can stay connected to you and you to me, or two ways. Today's song recommendation is God So Loved by We the Kingdom. Today's scripture will be found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Romans chapter 10 verses 8 through 11, Romans chapter 9 verses 1 through 8. The title of today's message is The Sword of God. I want to start out by saying that in yesterday's podcast message, if anybody listened to that, I want to correct an error. I had mentioned that many people rely on John 3:16 for salvation by saying just some words, and that's an incorrect place in the Bible to where I was referring. John 3:16 is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. I don't have my Bible open to that, so I may have read it incorrectly or said it incorrectly. But anybody that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believes in their heart, will be saved. So I didn't mean to say John 3:16, where in the Bible I was referring to that people say some words and then they just say them and then drop them and then go on with their life, is in Romans chapter 10 verse 9. So just wanted to correct that because it's so important that I when I've made a mistake like that, because John 3:16 is precious to anybody that believes in their heart. And I'm going to read some scripture that relates to that passage, or of that passage. We must always remember that God, he extends grace to anyone that believes in his Son. Anyone, period. Doesn't matter where you're from. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, a true believer, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. It doesn't become just words if you believe in your heart that you have to have faith. It's a belief in your heart, and you have faith. And then God seals you. The true believers he seals. He seals. You're sealed if you're a true believer. And God extends you grace for everything that you did in the past, everything that you're currently doing, everything that you'll do in the future. And of course, we need to live a life of repentance, not a life of, well, God's son died on the cross, therefore I can just continue on sinning. Anyway, I'm covered. No, you can't have that mindset either. That's not a true believer. That's an intellectual believer. It's kind of a game, in my opinion. So let's get started in scripture. And I'm going to try to get through these rather quickly. And I don't mean to, but I don't want to be on here for too long of a time, because I don't want to lose people for having a long message. So if you want to turn your Bibles into, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 21. This is titled The Parable of the Sword of the Lord, which I mentioned yesterday that I would read today. And it's a deep message from our Lord. And I do hope that you go back and listen to yesterday's message. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, and speak against the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath, and cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Because I will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore my sword will go forth from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. Thus all flesh will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It will not return to its sheath again. Pause. Now, I know that sounds like, oh my goodness, God's going to get rid of the righteous and the unrighteous. But in this day, to the people that he's talking to, there were no righteous people. He's talking to a group of people, and he will say in chapter 22 that he couldn't find even one righteous person, just like in the story of Lot. Abraham was having a conversation with him, and he's saying, you know, Lord, do you want to get rid of everybody? What if there are righteous people in there? And he kept kind of arguing with God to the point where God finally says, well, okay, if I find 10 righteous people in there, I will spare the city. But God didn't find even 10 righteous people. God found Lot and his wife and the two daughters, but really only Lot was the righteous one. The wife, she turned back, and they had all been warned not to turn back, not to even look back at all. She turned back, and she gets turned into a pillar of salt. And then the two daughters, if we go on reading in the book of Genesis, and one day I think it's a good idea if I just start from the beginning and just read from the beginning. And the two daughters end up having sex with her dad in order to have sons and daughters. So, only God can decide who he's going to have mercy on and not have mercy on. You know, it's up to, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But in this passage, he says, the sword will not go back into its sheath again. He's talking to this people that, if you listened yesterday, they They are corrupt people. And it's getting to the point now, we have so much corruption going on in the world now. And that's why I think it's important to read what's going to happen if people don't shape up. We continue reading here. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief, groan in their sight. And when they say to you, why do you groan? You shall say, because of the news that is coming, and every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord God. Pause. These are prophetic messages, and many can read and say, oh, this is just for that particular time. But when I hear Jesus say in the New Testament that he has not done away with the law and the prophets, nothing that the prophets have said, and there will be the day of the Lord where the wrath of God takes place. And so that's why I believe that these words from God will be for that day. And it's a strong message that we should pay attention to. Because he says, behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord God. And I mentioned in yesterday's podcast that Ezekiel's book starts out in the beginning that Israel's already in captivity. God has already destroyed Israel. And Nebuchadnezzar has already been allowed to come. The king of Babylon has already done his work, and the Israelites are in captivity. They're in exile in Babylon. And God comes to Ezekiel at the river Shebar, maybe butchering names and cities. And he gives Ezekiel these prophetic messages. So that this is, in my opinion, afterwards. A prophetic message is something that will happen in the future. But God, he's merciful to those that are with him, that are his true believers. He has a people, the people that have him as their God. We are his people. Verse 8, again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, say, a sword sharpened and also polished, sharpened to make a slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Or shall we rejoice the rod of my son, despising every tree? It is given to be polished, that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and polished, to give it into the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the officials of Israel. They are delivered over to the sword with my people. Therefore strike your thigh, for there is a testing. And what if even the rod which despises will be no more, declares the Lord. Pause. For there is a testing. God tests the heart. I just want everybody that is a non-believer out there, that is not a true believer out there, to think about such things. Verse 14. You, therefore, son of man, prophesy, and clap your hands together, and let the sword be doubled the third time, the sword of the slain. It is the sword for the great one slain, which surrounds them. Pause. The great one slain, which surrounds them. Many think that that is the king of that day. I don't know. I think, who's the tempter? Who's going to be slain in the end? The devil, Satan, the serpent of old. I'm going to plug his name in here. He's going to be the one slain. And of course, if he's talking about the king of that day, well, he also talks about that king being in captivity and he doesn't live. And this is, I feel it's a message for the future. Verse 15, that their hearts may melt, and many fall at all their gates. I have given the glittering sword. Ah! It is made for striking like lightning. It is wrapped up in readiness for slaughter. Show yourself sharp. Go to the right. Set yourself. Go to the left. Wherever your edge is pointed. I will also clap my hands together and I will appease my wrath. I, the Lord, have spoken. Pause. I mentioned a while back, a few messages ago, that I would come on and with some messages about that would begin, "Thus says the Lord." And I never did do that because I feel, I said there were going to be very brief messages because I feel that these "Thus says the Lord" messages need to, that it's more than just a verse. There's a story behind it. And so scratch that. I don't plan on doing that. But a lot of these messages from the Old Testament have a strong message where God says, "Thus says the Lord." And he means these things. And he's telling Ezekiel, show yourself sharp, go to the right, set yourself. So this group, I feel, are the ones heeding God's word. And then he says to go to the left, for him to set himself to the left. And I feel the ones on the left are the ones that aren't going to listen, and they're the ones that are going to see. They're the ones that are going to be slaughtered. And this is what's going to take place in the end. You're either right with God or you're not. There are no two roads. There's the right road and the left road. And the left road goes to damnation. So that's all that I'll read there from Ezekiel. And the title of that is The Parable of the Sword of the Lord. Now let's turn to Romans chapter, Hebrews. It's early. Go to Hebrews. And the only verse I'm going to read there is from chapter 4. I mentioned chapter 1, verses 13 through 23, but that's not correct. Go to 4, and we'll go to verse 12, says this, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So, that's just another warning for when the day of the Lord comes, God's word, the word of God, what you're holding in your hand, if you have a Bible, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, everything that it says, we have to pay attention to. We can't just read certain sections and not ever read all of God's word, because all of it is living, alive and active. None of the words are dead. None of God's word is dead. All of it is alive. The word of God became flesh, which is Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son. And sharper than any two-edged sword. So, that I reach someone today that does not believe in the Son. I really do. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9, and we will read verses 1 through 8. And this is the Apostle Paul that wrote the book of Romans. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and increasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are the fathers and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Paul, he calls himself, in other scripture, an Israelite of Israelites. I mean, he was very much in the religion Judaism before God just stopped him cold on the road to Damascus and said, just asked him, God, why are you persecuting me? And Paul had an instant conversion. His name was Saul back then, and God renames him Paul. And so he's talking to the Israelites here because he knows, because Jesus Christ has already been born, the Messiah has already come. He's already come and left. The one that appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was the resurrected Christ. But his fellow kinsmen, they didn't believe that he's the Son of God. And so Paul is grieved. He has great sorrow, increasing grief in his heart, because he's wanting to reach his kinsmen, his fellow Israelites, the ones according to the flesh. In yesterday's podcast, I mentioned that from these stones, God can raise up children to Abraham. And that's exactly it. We don't have to be of one of the tribes of Israel to be a spiritual son of Abraham. That old system has passed. It passed away when Jesus Christ was born. And now salvation is extended to everyone that believes in the Son of God is a child of Abraham, spiritual child of Abraham. And if we're true believers, these are the true believers that then have Jesus Christ's blood flowing through our veins, and we have the Holy Spirit guiding our lives. We are the children of the promise, the promises. So it goes on, he goes on to say, but it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children, because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Pause. That is, it is not the children of the flesh. So anybody that is born of the flesh, who are the 12 tribes of Israel, Jesus Christ, when he came to be born as the Messiah, because even these tribes, there are so many that are still waiting for their Messiah, but they missed it. They chose to miss it. They chose not to accept it. Huh, I hope you listen now, because when Jesus came down, he changed all that. That old system failed. That old system failed. We just talked about the sword, the parable of the sword of God. That old system failed. And so now he's talking to everyone. Whether you're an actual descendant of one of the tribes of Abraham or of Israel, or you are one of the stones. We are the children of the flesh. Anybody that is still living in the flesh is a child of the devil. Jesus is on record saying that anybody that doesn't believe in him is not a child of God, but is a child of their father, the devil. And that's not to any certain group. That's to everybody that does not believe in the Son. Because there's two paths, like I've said. Either you're following the Son or you're following the devil. There's only two paths. And the ones that are following the devil are still children of the flesh. Because the children of the flesh, it says that it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Those that have faith in the Son, these are the ones that are God's children. It's the ones that have Jesus Christ's blood flowing through their veins. But because of our faith, we believe that Jesus came down to be born. Right? I've said this. He was crucified on that cross. And that blood, the power of that blood, that sacrificial blood, atones for our sins. For those that believe in him, believe in the Son. And then he died and resurrected. This is the faith that we have. He died and resurrected. And if we have that faith that believes that, then we have the faith that his blood is flowing through our veins, because we are born again, not of the flesh, not of the flesh. We are born of God. We have a rebirth with his blood flowing through our veins, and that's why we're separate from the ones that are born of the flesh. We're even separated from ourselves. The flesh died and the spirit lives. and we're following the Spirit of God that guides us into all truth. I hope that's made sense. Sometimes I just I get to talking and I don't know if I've made any sense. But let's, and I hope that I did, because it's making sense to me. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, chapter 10, sorry, verses 8 through 11. We'll end there. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pause. This is the verse, chapter 10, verse 9, that I was referring to in yesterday's message, that it's more than just mere words. You have to believe in your heart, and that belief is faith in what all took place when the Son came down to be born, all the way to his resurrection. It's a faith. It's, and that is what is being preached. The faith is the word of faith which we are preaching. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes. So if your heart doesn't believe in what all the Son did, in the Son of God, then the words that come out of the mouth are useless. You're confessing in something you don't believe in. You have to believe in the heart. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses. So once you believe, then you confess. And that confession of faith results in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Pause. Whoever believes in their heart, whoever has the faith, they will not be disappointed. And I love that. I am secure in my standing. One of the armor of God that you can put on. Well, let's just read it. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. And I will add all of the correct scripture in my notes and attach it to my message. Okay, Ephesians 6, sorry for the noise with the turning of the pages. One of the parts of armor is, let me find it here, I call them shoes. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pause. I'm also going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, which says this: just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. Pause. We are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, those that believe in him, that have faith in him, that hope in him. Verse 13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Pause. So you're listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. If you are a true believer, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Once sealed, you're sealed. I'll go ahead and end there. I'll come on as soon as possible with the next message. I hope I haven't fumbled my words too much. I want to give all the glory to God. I hope, if anything, that something I said made sense to someone out there, and I have added another person in the Great Commission. That's our goal, to preach, and hopefully the goal is always to bring someone else into the kingdom of God. And once you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and become a true believer, the Holy Spirit of God enters your heart, you are sealed and you are saved and forgiven. Of course, there's repentance that's involved, but we don't go on purposely sinning. All the glory to God. Much love to all. Until next time. Bye.